You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
One thing we have omitted so far, BT, is the NL East leading New York Mets 10-5. Now, make of that what you will. It is nice to see the Mets, who aren't clicking, still go out there and win the majority of their games so far. They're in the midst of a 13-game run here. They'll take on Minnesota tonight. Here's my main takeaway from the weekend. Well, two things. Number one, Soto's slump has continued. As a matter of fact, it's even got worse. But let's push that aside for a second because that could be a bigger story. Senga yesterday goes 7 innings. Finally, a Met pitcher is pitching the 7 innings. He was dominating. Goes to the shutout, for against the A's there. And I think he took himself out of that game after 77 pitches, also knowing that the Mets are going to accommodate him in this stretch of 13 straight games with having to give him an extra day of rest and find a sixth starter. I got a problem with that. And now, maybe I'm misinterpreting what I saw, but I was watching that game and seeing specifically when Senga was out, handshaking and high-fiving in the dugout. It looked to me like Senga caught Mendoza by surprise when Mendy was basically like, oh, I guess that's it, you're done? He threw 77 pitches. He's going to get an extra day of rest anyway. You tell me he couldn't go back out for the eighth? And Senga afterward kind of confirmed that by just saying, oh, well, I didn't even really think that much because it's the most that I've gone all year long. Like, my point is that Senga can't be a true ace when you're working with needing the extra rest, 77 pitches, you can't start the eighth inning. There are too many. This guy's got to be, everything's got to be perfect for him to go out there. Good pitcher, did a good job yesterday. He will never be the ace of the New York Mets.
There's a lot of contingencies with Senga, to your point. You know, he's got to get the rest, and you got to manipulate the rotation for him. I didn't have an issue with it, though, because, number one, it's the A's, it's early. I think Senga has always had the best stuff on the staff. I think he's got better stuff than Manaea when Manaea comes back. I don't need to name every pitcher. I think he's just got the best stuff.
Even the new version of Manaea? Meaning, you know, when he switched the arm angle last year?
If he's... No, and that's really the only pushback that I think anybody could put. I would say yes, because of how economical he was yesterday. Like, the economical Senga is a Senga. The laboring Senga is the guy that gets to 70, I think he had 79 pitches, 79 pitches through four, and you're like, okay, here we go, back to the bullpen. You know, I don't know that we gave this guy a lot of room to learn the American game. Like, we just assumed ghost ball, nasty stuff, all right, and he was very good his first year. And we thought that there would be this natural assimilation and elevation to the head of the staff. Well, you know, and I've used this expression before, it's not always linear. It's not always step by step by step, and then you eventually become a superstar because those little baby steps add up to whatever. He's in a new country with a new culture. He's had some injuries. New York is tough. Even though it's embraced him, it's a tricky place to play. I think Senga's terrific. I have no problems with that because I would have to, with the 79 pitches, you know, if he asked to come out or wasn't ready, whatever, could, you know, call the manager by surprise, I would guarantee that. Now, I don't know what the number was, but I would guarantee that there was some sort of number that was established by the coaching staff before Senga went to the mound yesterday. here's what your limit. Here's your limit. Here's a loose limit. And if you're here by this point of the game, we'll do this and we'll do that. That's the way they draw it out. It's that structured. So if anybody was caught off guard, it's the Mets' fault for being caught off guard, because there's no doubt Senga kind of knew how many pitches he was allowed to throw.
But that also is kind of my point where, yeah, okay, he knows roughly the amount of pitches. Dude, you threw seven innings scoreless, not even a peep, basically. You don't want to try to go out there for the eighth?
I would. I would. Okay. I would. It's different.
Especially with the extra rest coming.
I don't want to go nine. I want to go the distance.
Beggars baseball's can't be different. Choosers. Yeah, okay. But think about the circumstance, right? Where the Mets are in the stretch of 13 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
And because of Senga, they need to find a sixth starter.
Yep.
So Senga, because of his limitations, already is saying that the Mets have to be compromised to a certain extent because they don't want him to pitch on normal rest.
Mm-hmm.
They want to give him the extra rest, so they need to find a sixth starter. That's number one. Number two, you're in the stretch of 13 straight games. What do you think that's going to do to the bullpen? So why not on a day where you're cruising along? The game is basically out of hand anyway. I mean, the Mets were...
He's got sloppy late, tacked on a few more.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yep.
You're through seven scoreless. You can't pitch the eighth inning? You've got 79 pitches. You can't get through the eighth inning to save your bullpen knowing that you're going to get the extra rest anyway? And I think Senga is so regimented, knowing that he probably didn't want to go past those 80 pitches as he builds himself back up.
Mm.
That's why I say, and I don't know this to be factual. I mean, maybe a reporter could go actually report it and shoot it down. I'm going based on what we know from Senga from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw with my own eyes, it looked, usually you have the manager make that decision. It's definitive. When they greeted each other in the dugout afterward, it looked to me like Mendoza was like, oh, that's it, you're done? Where Senga made the call as opposed to Mendy going over to him saying, all right, that's enough, or are you good, can you go? It was almost like they kind of all understood that he just doesn't want to pitch the eighth inning.
Well, are they acquiescing to Senga's demands, or are they just being a little preventative on their own accord here? So if we're going to get on anybody, maybe we've got to get on the Mets. Take the bubble wrap off this guy. I mean,
but if he doesn't want that, and it's not going to behoove them to do it because you're not going to get the best performance.
But that's why I asked the question. Now, we all know that it's a different pitching schedule in Japan.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he was adamant about having it implemented with the Mets. Like, are the Mets being almost overly proactive and trying to replicate exactly what he had in Japan, or is he heavy-handed behind the scenes saying his people, his camp, with him, with his translator, hey, we want the extra rest? I don't know the answer to that.
Me either.
I surmise it's the Mets that are going out of their way
But even if it
take the training wheels off, right. Mets.
No, but
he's not 10 years old. Let's go, let him pitch.
But even if it is, it's because they believe that this is how they're going to get the best version of Senga. But to me, that still comes them with limitations. What is going to happen? Oh, let's say that I'm with you. Senga's got the best stuff on the staff. Let's say he goes out there and has a terrific year.
Mm-hmm.
Who's pitching game one of the postseason? And then are they coming back on, what, he's going to need 5 days rest in a playoff series? Guess what? You're not getting that.
Well, I get that part. I think the first difference would be, I mean, maybe it's not because it's a different baseball sport, but maybe he goes 90 pitches, and maybe you get the extra inning out of him. If yesterday was a playoff game,
I need
game,
one or the other is my point.
I get that. I know. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy that, like, Oral Hershiser's it and goes, 1-4-7. By the way, nobody really anymore.
Not even Cole last year.
I know.
But maybe we know why, because he was, his arm wasn't 100%.
You get the mad bums over the years. You get, the Shillings here and there. You get, Randy Johnson coming out of the pen, throwing some innings to really get his fingerprints as much on a series as possible. But I think that those days are over. I got to give it time. I mean, it's not even April 15th yet. Now, the guy is building up. He missed basically all of last season. When he comes back, he gets hurt. Didn't look good when he came back in the playoffs here. And I think it would be reckless, foolish, and probably counterproductive for the Mets to do anything other than what they've done so far with him. Now, I admit, Sal, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's him or if it's the Mets. I believe it's more Mets-driven than Senga-driven, but it's what, April? What's today's date? It's April. Yesterday was the 13th. You got a long way to go. This dude missed the entire season.
Yeah.
I need him as a horse.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was a little soft yesterday from Senga. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the calls. Ron is in Rockland County. What's up, Ron?
Hey, bud.
Boy, you guys set me up just beautifully on this because you guys do remember Louis Rojas taking Taiwan Walker out in the midst of a no-hit game in sixth inning, don't you? Remember that?
I don't, okay, actually, but, I mean, it happens all the time now, sadly.
Yeah,
Ron.
It does, all the time.
Well,
David Cone had a perfect game.
Sadly is correct. And the bottom line is, guys, when you look, and this is what's so sad to me, when you think about all the hitters, they have a track to the Hall of Fame to address what they did with their peers in history. These pitchers today will never realize that. Never. And it's so sad because that was such a Koufax, Seaver, Gibson, Malone, every one of those guys back in the day who got stronger as they pitched through the game. And I see the way the baseball is being taught in the in youth baseball. I was a manager of a championship small town league ages 13 to 15. And you know what I used to tell the 15-year-olds? I said, I don't see a curveball because the orthopedist that I worked with said no curveballs because of ligament damage potential in your elbow at that age. All right. Now, with all these kids coming up at 98, throwing high 90s, okay, all this rash of Tommy John surgery, it is so arse backwards, yep. Okay? It's just sad.
Well, hey, think about this, Ron. It is sad, and thanks for the call, but it's also very much reflective of where we are. I got news for you. It ain't changing.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
It's only going to get worse. The more money that's invested in Sal's point for a while, and I didn't really always agree with that. I don't fully agree with it, but I agree with it more than I used to, was I'm not going to give my main investments to pitchers anymore. If I'm going to ask them to do less in terms of how many starts they make, how long they go in terms of innings, how many pitches I let them throw on a game, short rest, why would I give them more money to do less, which is actually a pretty sensible way of looking at it. So maybe the more effective way of dispersing money around major league rosters is to just spend more money on hitters because they play every day.
I mean,
you've said this.
Think about what has happened here with the Mets and Yankees, specifically in contrast. One team invested heavily in the starting rotation. Right or wrong, that's what they chose to do. The other team did not invest heavily in the starting rotation almost everywhere else. And look at where the Mets are pitching. Look at how they're, even without the two biggest investments maybe in that rotation with Manaea and Montas, both those guys are out. Obviously, the Yankees are without Gerrit Cole, but look at what the Yankees rotation has done. It has been awful. That's part of it. It's not, well, yeah, but these guys are hurt. Yeah, but that's part of the thought process, is that you can't rely on the pitching as much as you can the position players. It is, BT, even after what we saw a year ago, and even with me saying what you're saying that I said, as far as I would not, I agree with Stearns, I've come around, I would not invest big in starting rotation anymore. Even with that, I didn't think that the Mets rotation would be as good as it is, and I certainly didn't think it would be better than the Yankees at this point.
It's the best in baseball. Nobody envisioned that. Their numbers are absolutely ridiculous. It's filthy. I mean, these numbers are minuscule. I don't know. I mean, I know Cohen's got a lot of money. Does he have enough money to pay off the schedule makers? Could you have an easier start to the season than the Mets have? I mean, the only good team they played has been the Astros. They lost the series. You played the Marlins six times. The Athletics are a Triple-A team. Like, I got to start. I'm impressed with the Mets so far. And by the way, once Soto starts hitting, and he will, maybe not to the degree of a year ago, but he's going to hit the Mets, and I think Vientos will too. Mets are going to win games. Mets should be a playoff team. So I'm bullish on the Mets to be a pretty good team this year. But, gee, I mean, come on. What do I make of these pitching stats when you're playing against the worst teams in baseball?
They did sweep the AL East leading Blue Jays. You left that one out.
Well, I left that out conveniently because that wouldn't have fit my point. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm seeing the Marlins, I'm seeing the Athletics, I'm seeing the Astros, who they lost 2 out of 3-2. I chose to ignore Toronto, who, yes, they are 9-8, correct.
All kidding aside, and this has been a problem, and I think it's a good problem now for the Mets to have, where it's like, yeah, but they haven't played anybody good because they're that good that they make the other teams look worse, and the other teams aren't that good. Yankees have done that forever. I will say, though, I think the sport has a major problem.
It's almost
there are just too many teams that are just not good.
I wish I could push back on that. Now,
I mean, the A's shouldn't be in baseball. The Marlins shouldn't be in baseball.
The Marlins are a joke.
The Pirates shouldn't be in baseball.
The Rockies might be the worst team in baseball. Rockies are just absolutely disgusting. The White Sox have 4 wins. We know where they are a year ago. You know, and you mentioned the A's. They stink. The Twins are really...
Oh, my God. Yep, they stink.
Yeah. You guys are playing them coming up now, so we'll see what what happens there. The Braves are 4-11, but we all know there's some circumstances there. They lost a couple of guys. They've had some injuries. They're not going to be... I mean, they're not going to be behind the Marlins and the Nationals.
No, but some of these other teams are just bad.
They're bad. Some of these teams are horrendous.
And maybe that'll change with the Mets pitching being as good. I mean, I can't imagine this is going to hold up. But I like the idea that the Mets have started out as hot as they have without even really clicking off. I mean, nobody's doing anything offensively here outside of Alonso, who's carrying the team.
I know.
Torrens has been pretty good, but I mean, Lindor's been average, a better start than usual for him. But the other guy, Soto's done nothing. Vientos has done absolutely nothing. Nimmo's been inconsistent, a little bit of pop, but really nothing. Alvarez has been out, no McNeil. Yeah. Bottom of the order has been.
He's been terrible.
Yeah. I mean, terrible. So the fact that they're 10-5. You take that at this point. All right, let's get back to the calls on the Masters. BT, Kevin is in Islip Terrace. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I think Rory showed more guts by blowing that putt and then having to go out and do it again. I mean, it's an individual sport. There's no other teammate to pick him up.
Yeah.
I think he showed a lot, you know? I mean, when Judge dropped the ball in the fifth inning, if he got up and hit a grand slam and won the game, we wouldn't be talking about it. But true. Rory showed a lot to me yesterday. You know, I mean, I'm not Joe Golf, but wow.
I don't think anybody's disputing that, Kev. You know, whether, and thanks for the call, however you process what Rory did, whether, again, it was the accumulation of the Grand Slam, whether it was the up and down volatility in his Masters performance specific to this year and just specific to yesterday, whether it's the lack of theater despite having an extra hole of golf. I mean, it really didn't pop the way you... But if we woke up on Sunday and we said, hey, by the way, Rory and Justin Rose are playing a 19th hole of golf, who wouldn't have signed up for that? Now, it didn't... The script, when you read it versus seeing it on the screen, didn't exactly mesh, but, to me, the beauty was in his resilience, really. Yeah.
I would have just preferred... First of all, I would have preferred not to have it shoved down my face as a consumer, watching it as a... You know, a quasi golf fan or, you know, whatever, casual golf fan. I didn't need it shoved down my face, nor did I think Rory's performance was worthy of it. If he were dominating, different story. And on top of all that, he did choke on 18 and miss a putt that would have won him the green jacket right there to have to go to what was not really an overly dramatic playoff in my mind. So there were just a lot of factors. I'm not taking away from his accomplishment overall, not taking away of even enjoying the actual moment yesterday because it was fun to watch. I wouldn't have watched it if it weren't.
Yeah, for sure. If he was up 3, 4, 5, whatever.
And I think a lot of casual people got into it because of that. I just think that it was almost overblown, which is hard to say. Grand Slam, yes, that I understand.
Mm.
The actual Masters win in itself, I think that part of it was overblown. I get why it was his first one. He completes the Grand Slam, but the performance in the Masters in isolation to me was not worthy of, you know, being deemed a masterpiece.
I get it. You know, I hear you. Listen, I think that, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, but it's worth bringing back for a second here. Like, you... All right, Aaron Judge's pop-up, or somebody striking out with the bases juiced in a high-leverage spot in the World Series, or, you know, a superstar in the NBA missing a clutch free throw, or a goalie who's an all-star giving up a softie when you just can't do it. Like, their moments of despair and their moments of failure and, like, a lack of doing something that's fairly simple, we still can't relate to that because they still look different than us and they move differently than us. Right. But when a golfer goes awry and the ball ain't going where they want and you can see them, you know, shoving that stick back in the bag and looking at their caddy and looking up at the sky and talking to themselves and, you know, pounding their feet down the fairway, looking for an answer, that is about as relatable as anything that we watch in sports. And I love that.
I want
to
know.
Because we all stink in golf. That's honestly the answer.
But they don't. We all stink at the other sports, too.
I know. So when we see them confused and we see them lost
but
and
even
we see them
stinking,
searching, it's relatable.
Even their stinking is nowhere near to... See, that's part of my issue with the elitist nature of golf.
Okay.
Everybody thinks because they have a bag, they go out on the course, they have their club, whatever, that it's more relatable to them. It's not.
You mean for the average fan?
Yes.
I think it is. I do. Compared to the other sports.
Well, I'm saying what Rory does, why? Just because you could play golf at age 55 and have some fun playing it?
I think that's a big part of it,
and you can't do it at baseball?
I think that's a huge part
of it. So then it's for older people who play their golf game in
retirement. Or younger people, like take Gio. Gio's joined the game a couple of years ago.
Right.
And I don't know what his handicap is. I know he loves the game. I know he plays a lot. If I had to guess, he's probably around a 20. He's probably in the mid-ish to high 90s, and sometimes if he's having a rough day, probably is 101, 102. That's my guess without having played with him. So, but he's young. He's not 55. He's 40, whatever, right. 41. He's a couple years younger than you. And I don't think it's an age thing. I think it's a...
But if I go play baseball right now, 40 and over league, I'm not going to
say 30 or 40?
40. 40 okay, and over. Yeah,
I didn't know. I thought you said 30. I
think I used to play 30 and over. Yeah, that was a long time. So let's say I play in the 40 and over league. I'm not sitting there saying, oh, you know, I'm watching the Mets saying like, oh, look at that break on this pitch. Oh, I wish I had. Oh, whatever. If a guy gives up a home run, oh, been there before. I just gave up a home run the other day. Mm-hmm. But yet in golf, you're right. And I don't know why, but that does irk me. It feels like the person that goes out there and golfs, whatever your handicap is, feels like they are closer to that professional golf level than in any other sport.
And I think if you evaluate that honestly, the answer could very well be, we're not. To your point.
That's my point, yeah.
To your point, because, like, let's face it, you know, Rory or whomever mishits one, like, their mishits, I'd sign up for every mishit that outside of a shank. I mean, they can mishit one 297 yards, and they're like, ah, I didn't catch that clean, ah, this happened. And they feel it, and they know it, and it's not up to their par, so it's all relative, clearly. But I think that even when Judge missed the pop-up, he didn't look like a broken figure. Like, you figured he would catch the next one. And I just think that there are times, and Rory's had this in the past, where he doesn't know where the ball's going. And I think that that's what the most relatable part of, even if it's not quite, even though the gap is probably as far as me off a mound versus a healthy Garrett Cole off the mound.
Right. Okay. All right. BT and Sal. It is funny to think, though, but fans, golf fans, don't talk like that. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentary?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are. Whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It sucks that we have to wait this long.
I hate the way they do it.
You know, so now, what would be the better way? Is this just because of the play-in? Like, I don't mind the season ending on Sunday and I get the play-in stuff, but don't you think it should be starting Thursday or Friday?
Be nice. I mean, we've got to wait till Saturday here. And unless this came out since we came on the air, which I don't know. I haven't checked since this morning. We don't even know when game two is. I mean, it says game one is Saturday at 6 and game two is TBD.
I remember they did this last year, and it hurts not only in us trying to plan accordingly, because these playoff games take precedent over anything else. You want to figure out when the games are, where you're going to be able to watch it, make it work, or if you are so inclined to actually go to a game or two, you want to see when that's going to be. Like, you could buy tickets right now on Ticketmaster, but you have like home game one. Okay, well, when's
that? Did you check? I didn't check
yet. Did look over last week. I did look. And, okay, dude, prices are astronomical. Like, give me, what do you think it is, get in price, roughly?
Talking about like 400 in the house?
400 level.
Probably $400 or $500.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Like 480 or so for the... For 400 is probably behind the basket. Now, I'm not, you know, dismissing that, but I don't mind sitting up there for the postseason. I'm not paying $500 to sit up there.
No, I'd rather watch it on TV.
Yeah, I know, but there is something to going to the playoff games and going to the Garden.
Yeah, but like if I was, for sure. I love the Garden and I love playoff basketball at the Garden, but if I'm a fan, unless you're just absolutely wealthy and you just do whatever you want, like if I have one game to go to, granted it's going to be more. But I would rather spend a little bit more and go to like a round two pivotal matchup,
right,
or maybe roll the dice. I don't know that I would do it this year, but roll the dice on an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. Like round one, even though I think it's going to be competitive, and we'll get more into that during the week, obviously. I'm not burning that kind of money if I'm an average fan where money really matters. I ain't doing it to watch the Knicks and Pistons.
No, I would do it for the second round potentially, or definitely the third round. But remember, as each round goes on, the price goes up. So, I mean, come on, who's going to pay? And I'm thinking from like an individual standpoint.
Yeah.
But imagine going with it. Really, what has to happen is people go with their friends or single people or young people. Like, how could you just, you can't take a family to a playoff game.
You know what I mean? You better be making a lot of money. You can. You can't be struggling. Otherwise, you have no chance.
There's no way that somebody who can afford $500 times four to take the family is sitting up in the 400s.
That's true, too. I mean, and that's 2,000 before you have a morsel of food or get some sort of merch and park the car. If you're coming in from, you know, Jersey or Long Island, you don't want to take the LIRR. I mean, if you take four, that's about a $3,000 night.
Right. And if you take four and you want decent seats.
Oh, forget about it.
For round one, you could be talking about, you know.
I know.
It's almost 8-10 grand.
What would you prefer? So Saturday at 6, would you rather, it's not going to be Monday. I think Zeus said Tuesday, and I think he's probably right. I hate
the two games.
I can't stand it. It drives me absolutely nuts.
Did it not used to be back-to-back, and then you take the break for the travel?
More like when it was 2-3-2?
Yeah.
I feel like there were a lot of back-to-backs. Maybe I'm misremembering. It certainly wasn't game, then off-game.
No, it might have been game, off-game. Game.
Yeah, and some or spots game, I think game. It was game-game. Yeah, I agree.
Game,
that's what I feel like. Remember.
Now it's game, off, game. Like, what are we doing here?
It's brutal,
dude. It ruins the flow of the series.
They stretch it out, and when you have rivalries, especially go back to the Knicks and the Pacers, Knicks and the Heat, Knicks and the Bulls, where there's moments, you know, whether it's Alonzo Mourning with Van Gundy and then Larry Johnson and I mean, come on, man, and just throwing fists with Zoe. You, not that you want to see that, but like those sparks are so much better when there's only a day in between.
Yeah.
When you have like 3 days off, it's like, nah, come on.
I'm with you. Last year, same thing. Even though we were into that series, I mean, obviously both series, I'm talking about the Sixers, because that was a couldn't wait, get home, turn this thing on, what's going to happen tonight series.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the Pacers, the Knicks were banged up, especially at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, that won seven games too, but that Knicks-Sixers series reminded me.
Good. That was the old days.
Yeah, it made me feel like I was living and dying with every possession
the way
I did in the 90s.
Didn't we feel good? It felt good.
It felt
great. Missed it, man. I'll tell you what, OG, now I agree with you. it definitely dropped off against the Pacers. But when OG stuck the first three, remember he had that ripped hamstring basically, and he came back, he hit a corner three. Yeah. And like, or I think it was his first shot. I'm like, hey, you never know. So like, I was bad. And then they got waxed there. They just ran out of gas. But that first round was definitely more emotional than like a conference series, conference finals, pardon me.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steve is in Fairport. What's up, Steve?
Steve-O, what's up?
BT and Sal making my lunchtime great again. Thank you, boys.
Thank you, Steve. What's up,
dude?
Sal, I got to disagree with you, so I hope that you speak kindly when I'm gone. So I played a little college baseball, and I'm also about a 9 handicap in golf.
Okay.
And I do think I can relate much better to golf. Let me just give you an example. I could not go out right now and hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, and I know BT would agree with that.
No.
But I went down in February for a little vacation, played Bay Hill, 17 holes, a real tough par 3 over water, and I stuck a 4-iron about 7 feet from the pin. It had a little spin on it, rolled towards it. Now, hang on. There could have been 10 pro golfers on that same tee at that same time who took a tee shot. And luckily, you know, I know myself well enough. I'm not a professional golfer and nowhere close. But luckily, I might have been the closest of those 10 people. And that's not something I could repeat with a professional baseball player.
That's a good point. All right, that's a good way to look at it.
Now, you're a great call, Steven. Like Thank you for that call. We appreciate it. See, he's the prime example of what I'm talking about. Do you think in reality, and I understand his example, so does that then make the majority of golfers feel like because they could hit a singular shot well, or whatever, multiple shots, have a good round, whatever their handicap may be, the guy that called us before that I hung up on, whatever, he wants to play good golf tournaments and stuff like that. But to me, you're still not a pro. Like, okay, you can hit a shot, that's great. Some amateur baseball player could also square one up and hit a home run. Doesn't mean that you're going to be stepping into the batter's box anytime soon. I don't know why there is no doubt a deeper connection between the professional golfer and the golf fan slash amateur player.
Yeah.
That seems closer than, I think, the reality of the situation.
I think it's because, even if it's subconsciously, for many of us, it's because we know it's the last athletic endeavor that we can probably do, quite frankly. Honestly.
Then does this minimize...
I wasn't thinking like this when I was 20 and 30, right. And I still rock the ball and throw it through a wall and, you know, pull up from 22, 23 feet playing full. I mean, playing in leagues. Like, I felt invincible. Now I think I'm falling apart.
If Steve's point saying, like, I could hit a shot that's comparable or better than most or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Then should that minimize the achievements of great golfers? Because it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know what? I could hit a shot like that, too. Because if I or you, whoever, can hit a shot that's comparable to the golfers.
Which we could. And we'd have to get very lucky, more probable based on the odds than us hitting a ball as far as Judge.
Yeah.
Well, or throwing it as fast
physically
as anybody on the
that.
Team.
I mean, you maybe could field a grounder.
You know, for sure, like a short hopper.
Oh, okay, I'm just saying, you know, like, what's the equivalent?
Here's the difference, though. It would happen with more frequency, knuckleheads like us getting lucky and hitting a great golf shot. The difference, though, is those guys do it over and over and over and over with pins that are tucked in to hellacious spots, with greens that are rolled 10 or 11 on the stimp meter, or even maybe 9 in some cases.
With pressure that'll never be comparable.
But that's the non-tangible stuff, even though I know what you mean. But more tangible, how about the rough that, like, I remember playing Shinnecock in, I guess it was 04. When was it? Retief won it in 04. And I got invited to play a media outing. And I was awful. That's not the point. But it was about 80%, because it was in May, of the conditions for the actual event, which is in June. As you know, U.S. Open's usually around Father's Day. And Sal, not only, if I didn't have a four caddy, number one, I wouldn't even find the ball. And then when I tell you to advance the ball, I was pretty young and I was swinging hard. Mm-hmm. Nothing hurt yet at that point. I was lucky if the ball would go a foot. Whereas these guys, it turns your hosel. Golfers, you know what I'm saying. Like, but these guys go out there, not only do they get it out, they bang it, and it fires out. So, like, I think you're underrating the conditions. Yes, we could step up and get lucky and flush a 5-iron 190 and hit it on a green and get closer to the pin. Yeah, we could all do that. I could still do that once in a while. What I can't do is probably do it again the next shot or drain the 12-footer downhill left to right that they can.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't think it's anywhere near as relatable as people make it out to be. The other thing that I would say is I think the greatest attribute that a lot of these golfers have is their mindset. Or maybe the most difficult challenge that these golfers face is the mental aspect of the game.
Yep.
Repeating, repeating over and over, pressure, everybody watching, don't choke, this or that. And that is something that nobody, unless you're a pro, can relate to. You'll never be able to replicate. So you could say, yeah, on our course, we hit this and that shot and landed here on the green. Oh, I had this amazing putt.
Yeah.
But in reality, the pressure, the mental aspect of it, which is the thing that the golfers, professional golfers, have dominated or at least excelled in, I don't think we will ever.
I'm a mental mess. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Well, I think the majority of people.
I get a snowman. I mean, clubs used to be flying. I mean, when I was young. Not anymore. I mean, I just learned to accept that I'm not good and whatever. But and the other thing, too, real fast, is that, all right, we can go out there. You and I could go and have a catch. Yeah. And I think if you put the digital team on us, but wow, these guys look all right. Probably, you know, certainly some zip on the ball. We catch the ball. The ground ball's fine. But we wouldn't be having a catch on Yankee Stadium soil or the outfield grass at Citi Field. One of the connecting forces of playing golf and feeling closer to those golfers, maybe, or in terms of what they do versus what we can do with the other pro sports, is that you can play, and I have played many of these courses where these events are.
Right.
Like, you could go, just mentioned Bay Hill, you go TPC Sawgrass, go out there and play, you know, I just mentioned Shinnecock. Like, you could get invited if you have a very wealthy friend. Hey, you want to come play Shinnecock? Sure. And guess what? U.S. Opens, it's more relatable. You can walk the same grounds that they walk. And I think that in our own mind, even if it's very irresponsible to think so, we're like, oh, I could probably do this more than I could do some of the other activities.
Interesting, too, because of all the sports, golf is the most elitist of them. And yet you can walk the same grounds that they can.
That's true. That's why I love Bethpage. That's why I love the munis that are really world-class munis that are open to every... Yeah, I know what you're saying.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the fan.
Frank is in Central Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's happening, Frank?
Two things. I agree. Rory didn't play very well. And number two, Nance needs to shut up.
Tired of Jimmy? Tired of Jimmy, huh? As Rory, you know, as Rory grabs the drive, whatever club he's driving, he's grabbing there. And you have to think on some level those demons are flying around in the back of Rory's head, an all-time world-class golf champion. But he has had some memories at this course, which he will now have to stare right in the eyes.
Not bad, BT. Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Right? Yeah, now, like, that's how you present
now let me do my version of you doing the call.
Oh, God.
Rory's standing over the hole, and he's going to putt for the Masters. There it goes. How do you do?
And then throw a little screw live.
Listening back to that, BT, you actually do sound a little bit like Nance. When you were doing, you had that good, you had the good
pace.
Yeah.
I detected that too, but I didn't know if that was my own crazy brain trying to make me feel good that I actually sound like Jim Nance.
No.
I thought I kind of heard that too. Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, that's funny.
Speaking of.
I think it's easier to be good when you talk in a hushed tone. Like, if you were going to try to mimic a broadcaster, do you think it's easier to do Nance in a moment like that, where we go down low and we're more measured and paced versus, say, you know, a Marv or a Breen in the NBA Finals? I think it's golf.
Yeah, interesting. I maybe for me, it would be the opposite.
Really?
Because it's hard to tone it down that much. But either way, I thought you did a good job there sounding just like Nance. Speaking of play-by-play, guys, did you see Kenny Albert is going to be the official voice of the Rangers replacing Sam Rosen?
Yeah, I was hoping my guy LeGreca was going to get that. That's what I was hoping for.
I don't want... First of all, I think the Rangers have done Sam dirty here. The fact that this is the type of year that they send him out with, so disgusting. They should be embarrassed of themselves with the performance that they had. They can't even get him a playoff round? Come on, man. The great Sam Rosen deserved more than that. Second, maybe happy is the wrong word to use, but I'm always going to miss Sam. He has been the only voice that I know as a Ranger fan my entire life.
Yeah.
But I will say that I don't know Kenny personally. He seems like a great guy. I know a lot of people who do know Kenny personally.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I've heard that from many people. So I don't want to, you know, say something. But I got to just be honest with you.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's... I think he's too much. I like him on football.
Too much like his dad?
No.
Oh.
I think his... I don't know. Something about his voice or his presence is... Or his presence is too much. Maybe he's... Maybe
like over the top?
Not like in a Gus Johnson over the top way.
Okay.
No. His sound maybe is so distinct that it kind of distracts me from the game. I don't know, but I've never been a huge... I hate to even say this because, you know, I feel bad person to person, but I've never been a huge Kenny Albert fan. When he does the games filling in for the Rangers and Knicks. Now, I'm glad he got the job. Good for him. I would have liked to see Don get an opportunity. Who knows what, you know, I don't know the inner workings of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kenny's good. I don't think he's all time. I mean, again, I'm not trying to diss anyone. I think he's very competent. I think he's very good. Is he special? I mean, some people think he's special.
I think that he is in certain regard. For me, just my, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'll get more used to it on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
I think he does a good job doing the national games. I don't know. It's just something. And he's been a Ranger his whole life, obviously. His father growing up a Ranger fan. So I love that aspect of it. No matter who it was, I was going to be disappointed because it's not Sam.
Yeah.
But I'm just not as big a Kenny Albert fan as everybody else.
I thought you were going to say that he sounds too much like his dad, but he's not his dad. That's where I thought you were going.
Maybe that's subconsciously my issue.
I hear his dad when I hear him.
I loved Marv.
I know you did.
So maybe this is...
But he's not Marv.
Yeah, okay, so that's maybe my point. You know,
it's
like a different version of... I mean, Marv.
No, there's one Marv.
Again, hard to live up to that, too. So I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Neither was. Kenny's great. He's very talented.
Congratulations to Kenny on getting that job. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Let's finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Mike is calling from Mount Vernon, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Mike? Hey, guys. Listen. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
We got you, Mike. Good. Yep.
Yeah, look, I love what you guys do. I listen every day. I appreciate you guys. I just want to start out with a statement and then also two questions. This guy's been in, I'm talking about Rory and the Masters. He's been in the limelight since he was 3 years old.
Yes, on the TV show. Yep.
Yeah, he was nervous. And there's no question about that. That to say, it was a testament to his ability to come back and to get it done.
Yeah.
That said... you know, overall, for him to overcome that adversity was a great testament to his ability. But what you guys had said earlier about, you know, look, it's once in a lifetime that we see this type of thing. You know, did you guys watch Babe Ruth play?
No.
Right, but right. Are you talking about Tiger or are you talking about Rory?
Well, we were lucky enough to see Tiger do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think it's a good... I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead. Finish up.
No, I was just going to say, to see Rory do it just kind of exemplifies the... Look, I don't like Rory. I don't care for him. I have no...
You're cracking yourself
reason.
Up over there, Mikey, huh?
But, Mike, here's the point. Mike. And thank you for the call. We're short on time here, so that's why I let you go.
Yeah.
But to compare Rory to Babe Ruth or Tiger...
There's no comparison.
Okay, now maybe we're getting to more of my point. I understand that it could sound like, oh, you're dismissing Rory and this or that, but it is an all-time great achievement.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order is backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill it deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.